Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
And off we go into the final hour of the show, ladies and gentlemen. We're on the radio right here on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show, the Great One Lonzo. I am Rob Brown. The pleasure is ours. Great to have you here, Armada members from around the globe. Joining us now on the show, as he does every Thursday at 9 o'clock on the dot, he is an NFL analyst for the BetQL Network. He is an NBA analyst for the BetQL Network, and he is the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear every single weeknight from 7 till 11 p.m. on the Fan Upstate and on fine Odyssey stations around the world, and for free on the Odyssey app. Don't forget, he is Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hatin' Ass Mario, joining us here on the show. What's up, big fella?
So, I mean, we got to mention this off the rip, guys. No sleeveless jersey this week. Then we have a dark background. And then we have glasses on and a hockey jersey. I mean, Lonzo, what's going on in there?
The sunglasses started like a couple weeks ago. And now he's decided he's a sunglasses guy. And there's several different kinds of sunglasses. He was just a regular glasses guy. And the thing is, they're not prescription, so he can't see you right now. He has no idea. He can hear you, but he can't see you.
Oh, I can.
So it's a little fuzzy.
His hair's wet again. I can see that.
What's wrong with that? Just because you can't pull it off.
I'm saying I can see the hate now. Only because I got max screen on the big monitor. I mean, if it was, shut up. I'm old. Leave me alone. Mario Heron joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. I want to get to the NFL here in just a second. Hating ass Mario, but before we do, are you having as much fun watching the LA Lakers as I am right now?
I'm having fun watching Anthony Davis. I mean, he's what, leading the league in scoring right now, and kind of seeing him develop in this JJ Redick offense has been fun. But to be honest with you, Rob, I'm more having fun, and this is going to sound insane, and watching the Cleveland Cavaliers.
9-0.
I took their over. They're over this year in their wins. Atkinson kind of got the short end of the stick in Brooklyn, where all the stars, Kevin Durant, you know, Kyrie, Simmons, Harden, whatever, you know, it was Harden before it was Simmons, but they were like, yes, we want to come over here. There's a great culture. There's something that's really special going on. And then the first thing they did was fire the guy that started the culture, that started everything that they wanted it to be, and brought in a numb nut, Steve Nash, who didn't do anything. But it's great. I was proud and happy to see him kind of get like a second chance as this head coaching opportunity. I thought it was perfect in Cleveland. And look, man, this team's firing. They're fun to watch. They're first in offensive rating this early in the season. They're top 10 still in defensive rating, a little low at 9, but like, they are fun to watch. It's a great story. And I love the little league, the little city that puts up the big fights against the big dogs.
Yeah, we talked about Cleveland earlier today. Rookie head coach, by the way, only rookie head coach in NBA history to get to 9-0 is Atkinson. Like, it's a hell of a story so far. I let's talk about it again in 40 games and see if we're on that same trajectory. But for now, it's a fun story to talk about.
No, it's very fun. And look, you're talking to the guy that, in 2001, when the Bulls were number one in the Eastern Conference and then everyone got hurt, I was talking, not gonna lie to you guys, hand up, I was talking Eastern Conference Finals. I was talking NBA Finals. Like, I am the king of the team that kind of wasn't supposed to be anything, and now they're like closer to the top. let's absolutely overreact because there's nothing more fun than to do that.
Mario had two nicknames when he was the executive producer of Bet for the Cycle. One was Hatin' Ass Mario. The other was Mushin' Ass Mario. I'm not saying it's your fault, bud. But maybe calm down with the Cavs. Give them a chance is all I'm saying. Give them a chance.
This also is because I'm in a group chat with about three Cleveland Cavaliers fans.
That's fair.
And I get a text every night.
That's fair. All right, let's flip over to the NFL. Trade deadline passed on Tuesday afternoon. We had not really as active as a trade deadline as I thought we were going to have. I really thought there were going to be some names on the moves. Za'Darius Smith was about the biggest name we saw move. We saw the Carolina Panthers send Jonathan Mingo to Dallas and a seventh rounder for a fourth rounder in return. A move that I actually kind of like. Mingo was not... was not going to develop. He can go somewhere he can develop. He wasn't going to be able to develop in Carolina, and he needs it. Anything from trade deadline that was particularly interesting to you, or did you see it like I did? Hey, we knew Detroit was in the market for a pass rusher. They got one. I thought everybody who was pushing the Max Crosby theory was very clearly overreacting. The Raiders were not sending yes. away the only damn good thing about that franchise right now. Was there anything else that jumped off the page at you as a, oh, that's a make or break move?
I mean, it was very interesting what the Commanders did. And I think their whole approach to this Jaden Daniels thing has been honestly worked out great for them and been pretty fascinating in a way. Like you saw their moves this past offseason and they were like pretty vocal about it. The whole direction of that team was to surround Jaden Daniels with veterans that have been around the league to show Jaden Daniels like the ways of the NFL. And they did that with Bobby Wagner. They did that by getting Austin Ekeler. Now they did that by getting Marshawn Lattimore. And this is a secondary that's been pretty weak. It's kind of not been the best part of that team. And then now that you add a guy with that amount of experience and that level of a player with a defensive genius of a coach and Dan Quinn, I thought that was a really good move by the Washington Commanders. And I think they're kind of realizing too that this is a season where, look, the Cowboys are down and out. The Giants are down and out. The Eagles are a good team. But you can out-coach Nick Sirianni on any day of the week, and you just have to wait for them to make a mistake because they always will. So I think they realized their moment, and they're really sticking to, let's just keep surrounding our young quarterback with a bunch of, you know, veteran guys and strong leaders. And it's working, man. I think a lot of times you see in the NFL where, you know, you get a young QB and you want young talent with them so they can kind of grow together. And while I do, you know, think that's a good option and a great way to look at things, I think the way they're doing this is just as smart and it's really worked out for them. So I love the move the Commanders made.
So do I. I as a Saints fan, I like the move because there's no world New Orleans is competitive in the next 2 years. You're looking three down the road, and how do you make a team competitive 3 years from now? You have two really, really strong draft classes that bring the cap down and then get a couple of vets. I love Marshawn Lattimore. I think he's the best defensive back that's ever played for the New Orleans Saints. I genuinely mean that. So I hate losing him as a player, but the reality is we weren't going to win a damn thing with him this year or next year, so why not get some capital? On the flip side, as maybe the best DB that's ever come through the New Orleans Saints franchise, he makes Washington better immediately and does so in a division where you take away the limited success of the other three quarterbacks in that division by putting a Marshawn Lattimore back there who has locked down the likes of Matt Ryan, Tom Brady in years gone by. And there's a statistical empirical decrease in numbers when those quarterbacks went up directly against Marshawn Lattimore. To me, this, I already had a 22-1 ticket for the Commanders to win the NFC East. I'm making money at the end of this year because of this move.
Oh, you 100% are. And look, I think this like team and organization is pretty set for years to come. Like I don't see a way where like the NFC East doesn't go through Washington for like the next 2 to 3 years, right? Like let's be honest, the Cowboys, that just keeps looking like that's a mess. Giants are 2 years away from being 2 years away. And, you know, the Eagles are in a weird spot where like if Knicks or any like Sirianni like kind of doesn't do like makes the playoffs, like wins a playoff game, you have to keep him around. Like you can't fire him for that. So it's a weird one where like your coach is good but not great. It's a weird dialect. You gotta wait for like the, you know, weird awful season where you like blow 500 to get him going, to get him out. So they got that division, man, for I think a while, and I'm excited for him, also for the Saints too. And I know they just extended him, but I really don't understand. If you're really trying to get money off the books, if you're trying to go for this rebuild, you finally fired Dennis Allen. I don't get Alvin not shopping around Alvin Kamara. Like, why not shop him around?
Frankly, because you remember you just re-signed him. Kamara effectively took a relatively team-friendly contract that included, and I literally learned this 5 minutes before we started this talk, Mario. One of the things in his contract is that they can reduce his salary, and I don't know the exact number, but I know it's a pretty significant number. They can reduce his salary and therefore cap number if he does not attend 100% of OTAs, which he's not going to. He didn't come to OTAs, or if he does, he's a light workout guy. So the Mickey Loomis is doing what Mickey Loomis is always doing, not to the level he's done it in manipulating the cap and pushing the penalties down the road. It's just that instead of doing like he has done, where he's pushing gigantic blocks of money that are all going to come to you at the same time, like is going to happen this offseason for the Saints, he's kind of spreading it further and thinner down the line, which I think is the only way to handle this, unless, like you said, you go full reset button and you just play with a bunch of garbage vets and nothing but rookies next year. I don't know, man. Like, I don't disagree with you. But I also know the Saints right now have a major PR image in New Orleans, Louisiana. Like, the fans there are ticked off, and Kamara's one of the few bright spots. I honestly don't know. They don't keep him just as a PR move to keep the fans showing up to games for the rest of the year, because right now nobody wants to.
Exactly. And, like, he's a fan favorite. So, like, that's also tough, too. It's like, you're really going to let go of a guy that everyone, like, really loves. And like, I wouldn't even say that the Saints, like, it's not like you don't have, like, Chris Olave is a very good young weapon that could very much.
If he can come back, he died this weekend.
That's true. If he can come back, and if you get him a QB, finally. Like, Derek Carr is also not the option, but.
Did you see, somebody dropped a stat this weekend. Did you see somebody compiled the list of most losses for a quarterback through X number of seasons? All right, so for those of you that haven't seen this, starting with four-year quarterbacks, if you look at most combined losses for a quarterback between years, the most combined losses in 4 years, David Carr. 5 years, David Carr. 6 years, David Carr. 7 years, Derek Carr. 8 years, Derek Carr. 9 years, Derek Carr. 10 years, Derek Carr. 11 years, Derek Carr. And Archie Manning are tied, which means that when the Saints inevitably lose this weekend behind Derek Carr, he will now own the record for the most combined losses. The Carr family owns the most combined losses for a quarterback for between four seasons through 11 seasons. That's just,
hey, congratulations.
Talk about a legacy.
Congratulations on witnessing history.
I know. He tied Archie.
I believe he can make more history. He's lost to every team in the NFL. But
except
the Raiders.
The Raiders, and guess who we play on November 19th?
We're gonna
find a way to lose to the Las Vegas Raiders. And not only am I gonna have to listen to Cody Decker's obnoxious ass the next week, bragging about it as if he's been on the Raider bandwagon through this 2-7 season they're putting up so far. But on top of that, I'm gonna have to deal with having the first quarterback ever that's lost to all 32 NFL franchises. Just a stellar year to be me, bud.
It's a great year to be you. Braves did good.
Why do I keep inviting you back? Why do I keep having you on the show?
Florida State.
Why are you here? Hayden S. Mario from the BetQL Network joining us for the last time here on Thursday mornings at 9 o'clock.
Surprised you didn't throwing the presidency in there. I mean, you might as well just finish the whole thing.
Just sweep the leg. Sweep the leg, Johnny. Sweep the leg.
Yeah, sweep it.
All right. Talk to me. I, as I think everybody else, have just enjoyed the hell out of dunking repeatedly and consistently on the Dallas Cowboys. Would you like a minute or two to do that?
I mean, it's just, like, sad at this point. Like, it's just sad and depressing, like, just what's going on over there. And also just another great example of Mike McCarthy is not a good coach in the NFL. He's not a good coach. And we're seeing this for the fourth year in a row, third year in a row, whatever year in a row it is, where he just lets this organization down, this team down as a whole. It's glorious. It's beautiful. That being said, I'm almost, it's like them and the Jets where I like them that they stink. Like, that's fun. But I'm almost like tired that they stink. It's like, let's stop convincing ourselves that it can be something better. You know what I mean? It's like when someone breaks up with their girlfriend or boyfriend and then they like keep talking about it. And then you're like, buddy, I've listened to this for the past 2 hours. That person stinks, but like, let's move on. We're at a bar. You know what I mean? We're at a club. It's like one of those for me.
You can blame McCarthy. You can blame Dak, the big talking heads, the hot take artists on the big networks. They always want to run to blame Dak Prescott, despite the fact that Dak has put up numbers the last couple of years,
yeah,
right? Like, he's turned numbers. I'll tell you when it became obvious to me was 2 weeks ago when Jerry Jones got on that radio show down in Dallas and he was like, that's the media's fault. I'm like, all right, well, it's Jerry's fault now. It's Jerry's. Even if it's not Jerry's fault, when he gets on that radio show and starts blaming the media and threatening the jobs of sports talk radio hosts who are just simply asking for accountability out of the general manager, who is also Jerry Jones, and he starts saying it's their fault and the media's fault. But, dog, immediately I'm like, nope, all on Jerry. I think Hayton asked Mario, the Dallas Cowboys have reached what I call the Al Davis era. The Al Davis era is when your team can't be good until your owner dies. Because he's not selling. He's not stepping away. They cannot be good until the owner dies. The problem is, just like with Al Davis handed it on down to baby Davis with his weird-ass haircut, when Jera passes on, it goes to Steven, who maybe the Dallas Cowboys get lucky, and Steven goes, I'm not my dad, and I'm not going to do it my dad's way. But I wouldn't bet on it.
I mean, he's also the guy that talked Jerry out of drafting Johnny Manziel, if people don't know that story. Like he was all in on getting Johnny Manziel, and his son was like, listen, we cannot get this guy. I think the tough thing with Jerry, too, is, and you kind of hinted at it, like, he is a guy he's never going to sell at the deadline, like, or, you know, in the offseason, right? Like, sometimes in organizations, there's a time when you just got to let it go. And he refuses to do that, and he'll never do that. I think the Cowboys also have lost kind of their sting, if we're being honest. Like, Cowboys 90s were the team, were America's team, whatever, destination spot. You know, it was, you wanted to have that star on the helmet. Guys, I am 25 years old, and not one time since I've been alive or since I've had memory has it been, oh, man. Everyone I know, if you wanted to play in the NFL, you want to play for the Dallas Cowboys. It's just not like that. You know what I mean? Like, the aura, if you like that word, that's really youngins. The Dallas Cowboys, I think, has really kind of gone down with the younger kids, younger players.
Mario's got Riz.
You know, I hate that word so much.
Thank you.
You just said aura. Thank
you. Aura. Aura's
is better than Riz. I had someone say Riz to me last weekend. Like, oh, like. Someone asked, like, oh, how's this Riz? And I was like, I don't want you to talk to me ever again. I was like, that is the worst thing I've ever been asked in my life. I never want to hear that
what
again.
What a place to draw a line. All right, Hayton asked Mario. Mario Heron, he is an NBA and NFL analyst for the BetQL Network, also the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which airs every single weeknight from 7 to 11 p.m., and you can hear it right here on The Fan Upstate. Good to have... Okay to have you this week, bud.
Amazing to be here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if you want free money, I'm telling you this right now. North Carolina, Kansas Jayhawks, tomorrow, 7 p.m., throw on the over. Carolina is going to play fast. They're going to play quick, and they're going to shoot the hell out of the ball. Kansas is going to pound it down low. That game's going over. I think it was at 153.5. It's the best price you can find. Take the over in that game.
All right, accountability segment next week. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, hey, if it loses, I'll wear a tank on the show.
Tank Top Thursday makes its return next week. You want to know why I did, Mario? You want to know what I did? Look, I've got some I got some custom kicks to match the jersey. The custom Vans,
very nice.
I know they are
custom Vans.
The custom Vans, the high tops and everything, dude. They're sick. They're nasty. They're gnarly, bro. Talk to you next week, big dog.
Wait. Real quick, do young people wear Vans? I don't know.
Vans are back, baby.
I'm asking a young person.
I don't wear Vans. I wear, like, just honestly, just Nikes.
There we go. There we go. Me too.
Vans are so back, baby. So back.
They're not back.
They're back.
I need to bring it to you.
They're the backest. They're like sexy back at this point. Mario Heron, BetQL Network. He'll be on tonight. BetMGM tonight, 7 to 11 with Ryan Horvat and Brad Evans. See you, buddy.
Adios.
Later on.
Amigos.
Hating ass Mario joins us every Thursday at 9 o'clock. We got to take a break. We come back. Fight Club with the great Milonzo next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
It is time for the Fight Club where we fight.
Fight Club!
Fight, so to speak. And it's been a pretty big weekend last weekend. Crown Jewel was, it wasn't bad. I was a little shocked, though. First of all, the main thing that shocked me was not that Gunther, friend of the show, Gunther lost. The big shock is the turn on Monday night where he talked about Cody being the better man. Now, I'm not saying that he's turning babyface, but it was kind of, you know, I don't know.
See, I don't see it as a turn. I see it as very Gunther. I think that the character of Gunther isn't a heel. He's just very old school, and he treats wrestling as wrestling, not theater, right? Like, I think a guy like Cody treats wrestling as theater. That's why he comes out with the mask and the pyro and all that. Gunther comes out in a jacket. He beats your ass, and then he leaves. And when you beat Gunther, this isn't the first time he's done it. When you beat Gunther in a wrestling match, you earn the respect of Gunther. I don't see Gunther as a bad guy. I see him as a wrestler, not an entertainer. If you look at him more like a guy who is there to wrestle and win belts, not to entertain us, the character makes a lot more sense. That's how I see it.
All right. So last night, NXT went head to head with AEW, and I got to admit, I watched NXT. And here's the reason why. I was sold on something. And first of all, the week before, NXT, that was an amazing show. One of the best NXTs I had seen, I don't know, like a decade or something. It's been a long time. But so last night, they were at ECW Arena, and it wasn't really that good. And there were a couple of things that were good, but for the most part, it wasn't good. And my question for you, do arenas still have the mystique that they used to back in the day?
I think that they do, but I also think that, unfortunately, the nostalgia of ECW probably doesn't remain with an NXT crowd. Because the NXT crowd, as it is a developmental league, I think is predominantly younger wrestling fans who were around with the creation of NXT. They don't have the love affair with ECW that older fans like us do that watched ECW in its prime. I think if you would have, say, had a main roster show, I think that arena would have been absolutely electric because people who follow the main roster product are more likely to have been invested in ECW. This is kind of like when your favorite band, like the Eagles. The Eagles are one of the biggest bands on the face of planet Earth. Are they selling out Madison Square Garden? Probably not, because the nostalgia is with people who were invested back then but probably aren't as much now. The second thing is, and I had this thought last night, if you can do a great show and then add cameos, that's a thing, right? You got Rhino, you got the Dudley Boys showing up together for the first time in a while. If you do a great show and you sprinkle cameos in, that's fantastic. But if your show is only great because of the cameos, you didn't do a good show. And that's going to shine through. Now, I haven't watched NXT yet, but a bunch of my wrestling buddies were like, it was a fine show, but like it was cool for the cameos, but it wasn't like Rhino showed up and then was the main character. He showed it. He hit a gore and he left.
Yeah, RVD forgot his line in a promo.
I could tell he was lost.
Yeah,
like
we all know why he was lost, but still he was definitely lost.
Yeah, if you're gonna do promos, they need to add to a good show, not be expected to make a show good. The other thing I would say is there is not another more mainstream wrestling show that is more different than ECW was than NXT. It is I'm going to say this as somebody who watches NXT weekly. It is the most sanitized for kids wrestling show that is available.
Which gets me to my next point, was a problem last night for CW. Because not only were there big gaps and no audio, I wonder why, but there was blurred video.
Yeah.
because I've saw more birds last night than I've ever seen in NXT.
Those wrestling
and they had to take that, and you would think they would have took that into account when they went to that arena.
Well, again, you can't you have to pick one. You can either do a show where you go, you know what, it might be uncomfortable, but we're going to have to let some birds through, and we're going to have to let some, you know, some bleep that guy chants go through, or don't do that show. Because if you go in there and you say, we don't want all the things that made ECW a cult favorite, then there is no point in doing the show.
By the way, it wasn't a horrible show. There were a couple of bright spots. I liked the beginning match, Jade Parker and Lola Vice, especially the brick.
Yeah.
I mean, when you hit someone in the face with
a
brick.
But that was an ECW match.
Yeah, it was.
Right?
And finally, the superstar match with all the women was good, because you've got some big-time stars there. And they put the right people in the main event. Bubba Ray and D-Von, that wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't great. It just, I think if this hadn't come on the heels of what they did the week before and how good that was, maybe it would have been okay. And, you know, when Nunzio is one of the guys you bring out, it's, I mean, you know.
Listen, having the legends from the ECW days make an appearance as a cameo, that's fine. But what you did in that spot was you made me, as somebody who watched ECW back in the day, you got me all hyped up for an ECW show, and then you didn't get... This would be like, and I'm going to use another nerd comparison. This would be like if Ryan Reynolds went through everything he went through to make Deadpool, and then you show up to a Deadpool movie, and Deadpool's like, gosh darn it, you guys. This is just super, you know what I mean? You'd be like, this isn't why I'm here.
Well, he did kind of, Nicepool did that. But
Nicepool did it, yeah. But like, well, I'm saying when the OG Deadpool dropped.
I got you.
And everybody was like shocked, except for whom? Deadpool fans. Deadpool fans were like, oh my God, he did it. Like, we made a Deadpool movie. It's gross and it's violent and it's gory and it's dirty and it's vulgar. Deadpool, right? If I'd have gone in there and I had a Deadpool that didn't use bad language and like, didn't use his swords like swords. If he Leonardo'd them, I'm gonna hit you with the flat. No! I'm here to watch people get cut in half by Deadpool, right? If you know what it felt like to me? It felt like a bait and switch. You spent a week building up an ECW show. I tuned in to see an ECW show, and I got an NXT show in ECW clothing, which I think did more damage than if you would have said, we're going to do an ECW tribute show, but we're going to do it in Orlando in our building. We'll have Rhino come to us. We'll have Nunzio come to us. We'll have these guys. Then I'm not tuning in for an ECW show. But when you do it in the house that ECW built, and I tune in expecting an ECW night, and I don't get it, I kind of feel got.
Well, if you want ECW, just go watch some AEW and you'll get ECW.
An AEW ECW tribute show would go hard AF.
It would.
I would watch it before I watched anything else on TV
all
that
right.
night.
And admittedly, I didn't really like ECW. Some big stars came out of ECW. It was the alternative. I didn't need an alternative. I was okay with what the mainstream thing was at the time, which was WWF, I believe. One of the big things that happened at last week was setting up what we know is going to be Survivor Series. We got the OG Bloodline in the ring when Sami Zayn shows up and he kicks Roman Reigns in the face.
Okay, do you understand the biggest trope in wrestling that drives me up a damn wall? I said this to you on Monday. I'm going to say it every time it happens. The biggest trope in wrestling that drives me up a freaking wall is when you have the accidental push, the accidental punch, the accidental kick, and then it starts this, so you punch me in the face. Like, there was a point in time where WWE, you know what they did? They actually had the wrestlers act as if they watched the damn show. And there was one time, and I don't remember, I think it may have been involved with Sami Zayn, but there was one time where they ran that angle, and the next week, I think it was Kevin Owens, and he watches the tape, and he turns around and he goes, oh, it was an accident. Okay, no worries. And I was like, yes, yes, pretend like you're at least regular cognizant human beings. Sami Zayn clearly did not intend to kick Roman Reigns in the face. The dude moved, and he got Roman Reigns accidentally. We don't need to start a whole Sami v. Right. Roman angle over an accident if Roman just watches TV and goes, oh, yeah, no, it was an accident.
All right. The reason why I'm bringing this up, and this might be fantasy booking, we know it's going to be Bloodline versus Bloodline at Survivor Series, whether they've announced it yet or not. I want to see Sammy swerve. I want to see Sammy cost the Bloodline, turn around and smile to the camera and then walk out.
The finally, OTC Bloodline?
Yes.
Okay.
I know. I want to see him screw over Roman, Jay and Jimmy, and then walk out. That's what I want to see.
Why?
Because revenge.
But you have-
final revenge for everything that they did to him, everything that they cost him. Including a chance at the title, all that. I know the angle is all the families reunited and everything. Let Sammy cost them a loss again. So that'd be two losses to the new Bloodline. That's what I want.
Well, do you think Sammy cost them that match this weekend? I don't think Sammy cost them that match.
No, other things did. But anyway, I want him to cost them that match. I want him to get his revenge, do what Drew McIntyre has been trying to do forever, and actually get in there, them think he's on their side, and then him mess them over and then walk out. That's what I want to happen.
Yeah, listen.
You may want your happy, happy, joy, joy as far as that goes. To me, him getting his revenge on Roman for all the crap he put him through, I think it would be worth it to see that happen.
See, I'll tell you what, I think I know where my fear comes from. My fear comes from Sami Zayn works as a bad guy on a very limited scope.
He's not a bad guy in this situation, though. Mm. He's a guy who gets his vengeance, gets his revenge, and then he walks out. Still a good guy. He just took out the guy who put him through all the stuff he put him through.
He takes over, whether you like it or not, the most white-hot over babyface right now in the organization, which is the OTC Roman Reigns. And he takes him out and costs him a match. And more importantly, by doing so, whether he does it to screw Roman or not, by doing so, what else does he do? He allows Solo's Bloodline to be the ones. So you have now taken down the babyface, and you have elevated the people we hate more than anybody else, except Dominic Mysterio. Boo! That's pure heel. There's no other way around that. Sami Zayn becomes pure heel.
Yeah, but you do that.
I like babyface fun Sammy.
Yeah, but you do that and you play it as a babyface. I just think you could do it.
I don't. How in what world does he come across as a babyface if he costs the most overface in the company and elevates the most, I guess, over?
And then Drew McIntyre walks out, puts his arm around him, and says, "Thank you," and they just walk out together.
Oh, you just want him gone. I get it.
No. I want the thing that they started where Drew is like, "Hey, listen,
but then
what
also,
you were okay with? Why can't Sammy do that?"
I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying I think you kill off. I think you kill off Sami Zayn at that point. You reboot him again.
What's he really doing right now anyway?
Being the wonderful question mark wild card in this feud, which I'm on board with. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back, finish up the show. The Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show continues. Fan Upstate, final segment of the day. One more day to go before we head into another spectacular football weekend. One of the conversations that's been going around the college football landscape, specifically, whether you like it or not, in the Southeastern Conference, is teams faking injuries in order to stop the game.
Come on now. That doesn't happen.
Not only does it probably happen? It happens so damn much that I know that it happens. Hey, I'm a big Joey Freshwater guy. because Lane Kiffin entertains the hell out of me, but he is absolutely and without a question mark the number one culprit in this. Lane Kiffin has players faking injuries all the time. It's clear as day. Welp, if you missed it before last weekend, the Southeastern Conference sent out a memo to the teams in the league and a letter to league coaches and athletic directors that the Associated Press reported on Monday, actually, I think it got reported on. Got dropped over the weekend. Commissioner Greg Sankey told teams to, and I directly quote from the report, quote, stop any and all activity related to faking injuries to create timeouts, end quote. The league also tweaked an existing rule to give it more leeway in punishing coaches and programs for violations. Now, if the National Coordinator for Football Officiating says it's more likely than not that a feigned injury occurred, then it will be considered a feigned injury and subject to a penalty. Greg Sankey said, quote, your team should be prepared to compete fairly under the rules of the game. Before Friday's rules adjustment, teams had to send video to the national coordinator for review. Now the SEC office can request their own review. Sankey wrote in the letter, quote, when defending against a hurry-up offense, you are to use the allocated team timeouts if you need to stop play, or you may allow the play to continue with the personnel and defensive play call in place. When on offense, if the play clock is running out, you are to use a team timeout or accept the delay of game penalty. Creating injury timeouts in these circumstances is not acceptable and is disrespectful to the game of college football. Now, do we have any problem with that? I don't have any problem with that. I got no issue with that at all. So, that doesn't mean that Lane Kiffin's a fan. Why do I know that? Because remember, this year, for the first time, the SEC is putting out injury reports. For the first time, the SEC teams must, on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, put out a report of players that are probable, questionable, doubtful, or out, or game time decision. So, Lane Kiffin put out an injury report before he took on the South Carolina Gamecocks back on October 5th. On that injury report, there were four players who were listed as questionable or better. Four players who were listed as questionable or better. The injury report for Ole Miss this weekend just came out. Lonzo, there are 24 players listed by the Ole Miss Rebels as questionable or better. 24. Now, I got to guess.
It's been a rough season, Rob.
Been a rough season. Yeah, real rough season for the Rebels.
SEC is tough, and, you know, people are hurt.
Of course, Ole Miss is taking on Georgia this weekend. Georgia's pretty good. Taking on Georgia this weekend. There are 24 players on the injury report for the Ole Miss Running Rebels. Why? I got a guess. Here's my guess. It's because they expect that Georgia is going to be moving on down the football field. So how in the world do we slow up Georgia if we can't fake injuries? Well, if you got a guy who's listed as questionable on the report, and all of the sudden, he goes down on the field, you can go, whoa, 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 whoa. He's not feigning an injury. He's actually hurt. Look, he's on the injury report. We listed him on the injury report on Thursday. We listed him on the injury report on Friday. You cannot question his injury. After all, he was on the injury report. One of the things that it is important to learn as you grow up and become an adult in this country is that even though the majority of civilized society might look at a social situation of some type and say, hey, the rules are the rules, and even if they're not implicitly and directly written down, I am going to follow what is commonly accepted as the social rules of society so that I can be a functioning member of it. However, there are always going to be people out there that are willing to bend the rules, break the rules, that are willing to circumvent the rules, that are willing to flex the rules in order to create the most advantageous situation that they can find themselves in. And they don't care if it is to the detriment of you or someone else or the game or the business or the whatever it is. There will always be people who are willing to say, I don't particularly care about the rules or the impact I have on other people. I only care about my success in this situation. Lane Kiffin has just proven that he's one of those people. Lane Kiffin doesn't care about the integrity of the game. He doesn't care about the SEC commissioner or the commissioner's office. He doesn't care about Georgia. He doesn't care about anything other than how do I bend the rules to give myself a chance to win? And if the director says, oh, we are going to review injured players from now on and we're going to start handing out penalties for them, he'll just go, oh, actually, everybody's hurt. Just everybody on my team is hurt. So if anybody goes down during the game, don't you dare question it. Because they're on the injury report.
He's in their heads. I mean, you know, you wanna come at me, I'll come at you, bro.
Lane's in your head. In your head. Kiffin. Kiffin. Kiffin.
That was amazing. I was glad to witness that. All right. Once again, day two of having to wade through things to try to find things. And it probably would be that way.
Going to be that way for a minute.
For at least the rest of the week.
For a minute.
And then the weekend will happen, and then everything will be good. Speaking of the weekend, Red One is trending.
Red One, a new movie coming out starring Dwayne as well as Captain America. And J. Jonah Jameson is starring in this movie as well. Super ripped Santa.
Yes.
And they're going to be attacked by gigantic CGI abominable snowmen. I don't even care, Lonzo.
Krampus in a slap fight. I mean, you know, who didn't want to see that?
I don't even care. I'm super excited about this movie.
All right.
Judge me.
The movie itself doesn't drop till next Thursday, except... across the country, Sunday at 4 p.m., you can go see the movie, including IMAX. I just looked it up, the IMAX in Simpsonville.
Wait, so this is a theater movie?
Yes.
Oh, I thought this was a...
No, it's
like
a theater
Netflix
movie. It comes out
technically
on the 15th, which means it comes out on the 14th because Thursdays. But they decided to release one showing only this Sunday at 4 o'clock before the initial release.
I'm in.
So if you wanted to see it early, you could do it. You know, football's going on. But still, if you wanted to.
Yeah, I'm not in. I'm going to watch football. I will say this.
I am going to go see it probably next Friday, though. So
I ranted on what was it, Tuesday, about it being too damn early for Christmas stuff to put up. The wife, we don't have our big tree up because we're getting a real tree, but we have a little 4-foot tree that she does a theme every year. Like it's a deck. Like last year it was our beach Christmas tree, and the year before that it was, you know, whatever it was. This year it's a football theme Christmas tree. So she actually got a black tree, and on one side she hung garnet for South Carolina. On the other side she hung gold for the Saints. So it's a football tree. She put it up. It goes in our bedroom, so it lights up the bedroom, whatever. She put it up, and I looked at it last night, and I was like, oh, crap, I feel Christmassy.
Yeah, I hate
this. Damn it!
I hate this. I'm starting...
Damn it, I feel Christmassy now!
I'm starting to feel it a little bit,
too. I know!
And I don't know if that's age or what, or just, you know, physically I'm having problems, but... And so Christmas just... I don't know why.
My icy cold heart was warmed to its cockles last night because the Christmas tree went up, and I went from, it's too early to, like... I can get down the rest of the decorations from the attic if you want me to.
By the way, if you're at work, do not look up cockles. All right, the next thing that's X-ing is Ray Gun.
Ray Gun is trending again. Of course, the world famous, number one in the world ranked break dancer, Ray Gun.
Not anymore. She is officially retired from break dancing because of the backlash of the Olympics.
Oh,
it took
Ray
her a
Gun.
While, but she has decided... You know, TMZ just reported it, so you know it's true. She's done with breakdancing.
For the record, if you'd have told me she had retired before the Olympics, I'd have believed you. My favorite thing on Halloween was all the Ray Guns out there that were going out there and doing really bad dance moves, except for they were doing the exact same dance moves.
I'm going to loosely quote her in her saying that she was unable to express herself the way she wanted to.
Yeah, no, we all saw that. Yeah, yeah, we saw it. Yeah. We saw it.
All right. And finally, Malachi Black is
Yeah, very shocking last night at AEW. He had a match against Adam Cole. Baby! In which he, A, lost, and then B, after the loss, he didn't do like the traditional Malachi Black stuff. He like got up and he hugged Adam Cole and kind of waved. So the thought is that may have been Malachi Black's send-out match from AEW, which of course would make sense that he would be on his way back to WWE where his wife Zelina Vega works. I would just like to say, you better give me horror movie Malachi Black back. Don't give me this Alistair, I wear a suit and tie. Ah, I want my man showing up and being terrifying. I need more terrifying. Hey, that's it for us. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. Come back tomorrow. Do it with us again. We are going to have a good time, as always, on the Friday edition as we preview the football weekend. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!
It's been over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.